So, you know, I refer to the various Babylons of the world, that there's the Seattle Babylon. And, you know, I've spent time in D.C., center of the universe, and Los Angeles, Hollywood, California. Would it surprise you to know that one of the top Christian apologists in the country and his son, who serves our country in the Air Force, says that, in fact, by looking at some of the big Hollywood blockbusters, we can actually see God revealed?
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And this is a book I'm currently reading. Joined by my friend Frank Turek, the new book is called Hollywood Heroes, How Your Favorite Movies Reveal God. And yes, some specific movies, some of which Christians even said, no, do not watch that because you will be owned by the enemy. And yep, as a matter of fact, I am sipping Bone Frog coffee from bonefrog.us. Military vet owned, 25-year Navy veteran, Navy SEAL. It's bonefrog.us. First time you purchase, use my name, Todd. You get 10% off. Frank Turek, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Todd, it's great to be in exile with you.
Well, we're called to be the elect. I think that I've used the phrase the exiled elect. I mean, we're not of this world, right? We're just visiting.
That's
so
right.
I think it's apropos. You were exiled, though. You did get exiled far before me, didn't you?
Yeah, I got canceled 10 years ago when I was doing work for Cisco and Bank of America, when they figured out I wrote a book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. I was canned in the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity, Todd. So that was 10 years ago. Now I'm full-time doing what we do at crossexamine.org, providing evidence that Christianity is true. And my son and I had this opportunity to write this new book, Hollywood Heroes, How Your Favorite Movies Reveal God. And so I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, and I started to read it, and I got up to a very emotional chapter for me, super emotional. So I won't give away any of the teasers. I will tell you that Frank makes a very bold claim in the book, he and his son, that there's one movie overall, even more so than the one you're thinking of, that reveals the character of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and one that really stands out. And so we'll talk about that, but I'm not going to tell you which movie. I got really emotional reading the chapter on Harry Potter. And my daughter, Frank, went to a Christian school that had that label. Let's say it that way. So they sold the label of Christian school. And she did the most phenomenal PowerPoint presentation with embedded videos where she compared the story structure of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter using Joseph Campbell's myth structure and went through the hero's journey. She was 8 when she did this.
8 years old.
Okay. And so she has a gift for story. I don't know where that came from. And she took that to school and the teacher said, oh, no, you can't have Harry Potter in here.
Really?
And then and didn't even let her show her presentation. And then the other kids in school said, well, you're going to hell because you read Harry Potter. So you're telling our audience that through Harry Potter, we can also see God revealed in that film, in those books.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand why some parents were concerned about the movie because it dealt in witchcraft. However, Lord of the Rings deals with witchcraft too. I mean, Gandalf is a wizard, right? I mean, Chronicles of Narnia, same thing. You know, it's fantasy. In fact, Todd, before we dive in on Harry Potter, think about this. Of the top 25 grossing movies of all time, the biggest grossing movies of all time, half of them are these superhero genre movies, the kind of the ones we're covering in the book Hollywood Heroes. They are movies like Captain America, Iron Man, the Harry Potter movies, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Batman, Wonder Woman. Those are the movies we cover in Hollywood Heroes. Yeah. So half of them are those, Todd. And about 23 or 24 out of the top 25 are all fantasy movies, which deal with either the paranormal or the supernatural. Now, why is that? It's because people want to be taken to a place of bliss, a place where we're going to be rescued from evil. Well, that's the whole Christian story. We're going to be rescued from evil by a hero. And the hero, of course, is Jesus.
Well, and I love that you mentioned that, because one of my big contentions, Frank, I've said this for a decade, is I believe God signs his work in multiple ways. One of them is our being drawn to specific chord structures and chord movements in music. So specific music theory that it's universal across many cultures, and some cultures have their own, but we're drawn to it. We're drawn to certain forms of story structure. You know, so Joseph Campbell, right, we talked about him, was able to go throughout society and say there are effectively 20 stories in these series of archetypical characters. I think God has embedded in us what you just said, is this need for rescue from without, which is what Campbell would call it. Rescue from without, from our darkest cave moments. So my question to you is, if we're going to see it the big picture before we get into some of these films, is it helpful that Hollywood mimics or is maybe inspired by the Bible, that we sort of normalize, oh, all heroes die and come back to life and everybody gets help from without? Do you think that runs the risk of stealing away in people's, you know, limited minds, the reality of Christ's death and resurrection on our behalf?
Well, it did initially for C.S. Lewis. You know, C.S. Lewis always loved the mythical stories about dying and rising gods, until J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of Lord of the Rings, said, hey, Jack, that's what they called C.S. Jack, do you know that Christianity is the true myth? You know, it really happened in history.
Yeah.
God came to earth, added flesh to his deity, took our punishment on himself, and by trusting in him, you can be forgiven of your sins and given his righteousness. And he rose from the dead to prove it. It really happened, Jack. And C.S. Lewis, the light bulb went off. He said, this is the true myth. It really happened. And then, of course, you know, he spent the rest of his life writing about Christianity and why it was indeed true. So Christianity is the true myth. It really happened.
And that story of Tolkien and Lewis, I mean, I can geek out, Frank, on things, stories all day long, that it was also Lewis that then turned around and was pushing Tolkien, hey, you need to write more fiction, and you got all these languages, and how come this hasn't become, why is this not a fictional work? I don't know if you saw this, but Tolkien's son and some of the other, you know, inner circle now that, of course, Tolkien's long past, they've put together in the Tolkien Society now, it is the new belief that there are so-called transgender characters in The Lord of the Rings. That
they're, oh, really?
Oh, yes.
We're going to write them into it?
Yes. And, okay. And by the way, there is nothing to do with the Lord in it.
Oh, nothing.
No, all right. No. So of course, this book entirely inspired through Christianity. And I believe Tolkien was a Catholic, if I'm not mistaken.
He was. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. So you don't think that people getting fatigued by the hero dying and coming back to life thing, you don't think that runs the risk of when people discover the gospel for the first time that they go, oh, yeah. So that's like this or that character that always happens in movies. Do you worry about that?
Well, they may say that, but then when they look at the evidence, I think they can realize that it really did happen. It is what, as I say, what Tolkien called the true myth. Yeah. There's evidence that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is our savior. And it's really hard to write a story without good and evil in it. You wouldn't be interested if there wasn't good and evil in it, right?
Right.
And you know, if it started out and they all lived happily ever after, we'd go, oh, yawn, right? Yeah. Right. But we want, Todd, we want to be taken out of this bondage to decay we're all in right now. And we yearn to be taken out. And we know we're made for another world. C.S. Lewis famously put it this way. He said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world.
Yeah.
And we are. I mean, think about the things that happen in our lives. I mean, right now it's springtime. I don't know about you, but there are certain things about springtime. If I go outside and I get a whiff of fresh cut grass or flowers or something, it takes me right back to my childhood. And almost it's like a glimpse of heaven.
Yeah.
And I know, and it's an echo though, Todd. It's there for a second and then it's gone. And that's what Lewis was talking about. we have all these echoes, these glimpses of heaven that are all around us, that we find them in music, in beautiful scenes, in movies, in plays, in relationships. And we go, I want to grasp this thing, but I can't quite do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lewis is saying we're made for another world. And that's what this book talks about. All these movies show we're made for another world, and we're going to be taken out of this world by a hero. Who's the hero? The ultimate hero is Jesus.
Right. And the book is Hollywood Heroes. It's linked in the show notes. It's on the Substack so that you can just click straight over and buy a copy. One of my great and cherished parenting moments, and I want to talk a bit about the Lord of the Rings here. And I do want to get to Harry Potter, but we had been separated as a family, not separated divorce wise, but I had been working in DC, serving Babylon for a little while. And, my daughter wasn't there because it would have disrupted her school time. And so we had this little bit of time apart. So one of the things we did was we continued to read Lord of the Rings together. And it took us almost a year to get through the book. She was a little girl. She was 5 or 6. And when, we came home to Seattle, we wrapped up the reading of Lord of the Rings, and we were sitting on the couch together, Frank, and she with her blonde hair and blue eyes, and me with my, you know, full grown male ugliness. And I got to the last, I was reading it on a Kindle, and I got to the last sentence and said, Frodo Baggins was home. No, wait. It's Sam, right? And Sam Gamgee was home. And I stopped, and my daughter sat there and she looked up at me. She said, "Is that the end?" I said, "Yeah, that's the end." And she went, and she went running into my wife's arms. My wife was in the bedroom. She's, you know, I heard her yelling, "Sam will never see Frodo again. I will never see Frodo again." And it was a death. And I finally had to tell her, you know, honey, no, Sam and Frodo will see each other again. Sam just can't go right now. It's not Sam's time. Right? Sam has earned that rest. He will go too. He will. Yeah, we had to go through all the characters. All the hobbits. Well, all the hobbits who earned it, honey, because she's a little girl. So I think that one's obvious a little bit, the Lord of the Rings. But what are we missing? What do people not see in it that you can enlighten for us?
Todd, there's so much in Lord of the Rings. As you know, it was written with Christianity in mind. Tolkien was a devout Catholic, although he didn't want it to be overt. He wanted to kind of approach people in a way that wouldn't get them thinking, hey, Tolkien's preaching at us. He's not doing that. He's showing that elements of the Christian worldview are something you ought to desire. For example, the king returns. That's really what the whole thing is about. The king is going to return. Aragorn plays the king. He's going to return and redeem his people. And what Tolkien did is he didn't make the Christ figure in Lord of the Rings any one person. Aragorn partially is, Gandalf partially is, and so is Frodo. Frodo partially is, and or we might say Sam and Frodo. And this is very aligned with the Trinity, if you think about it. In the Trinity, the Father plans salvation, the Son achieves salvation, and the Holy Spirit inspires salvation in the people. Well, in the Lord of the Rings, Gandalf strategizes to plan the salvation. Frodo and Sam actually achieve the salvation. And Aragorn is the one that inspires the people to actually achieve salvation. And so we see that in the Lord of the Rings. We also see, of course, weakness is a strength. I mean, Todd, if you're making up a hero, your hero's probably not 3 feet tall who eats 7 meals a day and wants to drink, you know, beer. I mean, that's not your hero, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, because that's one of my favorite things about Christ Jesus. Of all the things I, you know, around Easter time and around Christmas time, I love to say it's preposterous. If God wanted us to believe this, why would God be killed on a cross? Why would God be a helpless little baby born to a teenage mom in under circumstances where people are bound to question, not the least of whom was Joseph until the angel came and said, hey, this is the Holy Spirit. This is God at work.
Right.
And so it is preposterous. And yes, you see the helplessness of a relative helplessness of the hobbits. But then they gather together, and that last, you know, the last scene is Sam, or not the last scene, but taking the ring up to the volcano to ultimately rid the world of it. It's Sam carrying Frodo on his back.
Yes, yes. That's a beautiful picture of how the Lord carries us. And these are two weak individuals, but somehow they get the job done. And if God can use weakness, like he does weak people in the Bible, we could go through the weakness of the characters in the Bible. Can he use weak people like you and me to get his will done? And the answer is yes, that's what he does.
I love that you guys, you and your son, have included in this, you and your friend, your son, Frank Zachary Turek, who's Captain Turek in the United States Air Force.
He's a major now.
Oh, he's a major. Oh, he's got
he's actually a major. He keeps getting promoted. So.
Well, you got to keep changing book covers, man.
Yeah, I know.
Or tell him just quit getting promoted. The reader's guide, this is so helpful for parents because Hollywood is so dominant in culture. But when we can take something, even like Batman, now that one, I get it a little bit. That one shocked me, honestly, that it was in the book. Okay. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. But the reader's guide and the discussion guides are so helpful because it gives you an opportunity as a parent to sit back and reinforce our values and reinforce the truth of Christ Jesus and the Lord. And it gives us that opportunity so that the next time kids watch that or even young adults watch that, they see that even more clearly. My daughter just with her boyfriend just rewatched Lord of the Rings, and he's coming to the Lord and the Lord's working on him. And that was so cool to have my daughter come down and lecture me. Dad, did you know that Frodo was, and to hear that. And of course, parents are thrilled at that point to step back and say, wow, you figured that out, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's one of the values of the book. We wanted to have a fun way to get young people in particular interested more in God. And we wanted a fun way to teach biblical life lessons without sounding too preachy. You don't have to crack open the Bible. Watch Iron Man, right? Yeah. Or watch Lord of the Rings, or watch Batman, or watch Wonder Woman, or even Star Wars. You can get these biblical life lessons by watching these movies. And that's what we do in the Hollywood Heroes book. By the way, Todd, I want to mention that if this airs prior to May 3rd, if people go to HollywoodHeroesBook.com, that's HollywoodHeroesBook.com, and they pre-order the book because it comes out May 3rd, we're going to send you the audio version of the book for free, but that's only till May 3rd. So go to HollywoodHeroesBook.com if you want to see more. There's even a little book trailer up there, a little video, so people can see more of what the book is about, and then they can get the audio book for free if they pre-order the paperback version.
So I don't think I've made it clear what a fan I am of yours, because this is actually going to air. This is airing. People are hearing it on April 6th. So they can get way ahead. I don't wait to put Frank Turek on.
Thanks, man.
I always want to jump at that chance. Let me do this. We have achieved so much due to the listeners of this program, Frank, and through God putting us together and God gifting us. But this couldn't have started really without my good friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital Management, which is the chief investment officer there. And Zach, of course, has shared with you his faith walk. And what that means is a steward of other people's money. And Zach, I've told you about him focusing on risk management at Bulwark Capital Management. That is, in fact, true. But there's a whole lot of people who've been visiting with Zach really recently about the risk management strategy to enter early retirement. So if these questions keep you up at night, or like me, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning going, I got to call Zach and make sure I'm still on track. Do you have enough to retire? Should you take Social Security? Do you need estate planning, long-term care, all that stuff, right? There's the classic strategy, 60-40 stock bond mix. Is that even relevant today? honestly, with as rigged as the financial system is, and as you know, Zach makes that very, very clear, it is the system we have. You can call Zach and simply figure out, and he'll do it for you if you if you're able to retire now. It's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com, 866-779-RISK, or knowyourriskradio.com, and get those questions answered. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. And of course, Zach is with us on Friday. So much to ask, particularly now that someone says, once again, there's been a Bitcoin hack. I don't know. I can't confirm that, but Zach will know. Frank Terek's with me. And we're talking about his book, Hollywood Heroes. This is a thing that, families can sit around, having watched these great movies, and use this discussion guide. Frank, do you have a movie that you suggest people sort of start their children on, if we're going to use Hollywood as an example to reveal God?
Well, there's so many of them. We actually have a list. It's probably more than a list of more than 20 movies that, are in the front of the book there, Todd. And it just depends on where you want to start. Do you want to start with Marvel? Do you want to start with DC? Do you want to start with Star Wars, Lord of the Rings? Any of them they can start with. Now, let me also say that not all these movies are going to be appropriate for young children. You know, maybe more teenage, some of these movies. But, I found value in all of them. So I wouldn't say there's one they have to start with. They might want to pick a genre or pick a franchise and start there and see where it takes them.
So, but I was asking Frank, you, my friend, is there a movie you think people should start with? Right. The book's right here in front of me. I'm asking you as a friend, like if you have young kids, where would you start them, Frank? If you have, you know, we have listeners of 5-6-year-old kids. We've got grandmas and grandpas that listen. Where would you start?
Well, you can't go wrong with Lord of the Rings. Out of all the movie franchises we go through, Todd, we go through Captain America, Iron Man, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Batman, Wonder Woman. We go through all of those different movie franchises. Lord of the Rings is probably the one that you can see Christ in probably more than any other. And the other, surprisingly, I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, the other's Harry Potter. And people go, how can Harry Potter, a series that Christians boycotted, have Jesus in it? Harry Potter arguably has more in common with Jesus than virtually any other character we cover in the book. In fact, think about this. His birth is prophesied, just like Jesus's is. He has to be a moral being, a moral person, in order to achieve his mission, more so than the other people in the movie and in the book. He dies, and he also rises from the dead to save his friends, which is exactly what Jesus does. In fact, J.K. Rowling has said this. You know, she's the author of the series of books. She said, these are British books, and you're going to find in these books the Christian worldview, basically. She said the whole series can be boiled down to two Bible verses. One of them is in the Gospel of Matthew, and the other is in 1 Corinthians 15, the great passage on the resurrection. And she says, I never want to talk too much about this, because if I do, people are going to know where we're going. So,
Those you reading your book, because I went straight to the Harry Potter chapter. You'll forgive me because that emotional response I talked about earlier. Those appear in the movie.
Oh, of course they do. Yeah. In fact, the two verses are: the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's 1 Corinthians 15:26. And the other one is, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. That's Matthew 6:21, the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And she said they're very British books. So on a very practical note, Harry was going to find biblical quotations on tombstones. She said, I think those two particular quotations that Harry finds on the tombstones at Godric's Hollow, they sum up, they almost epitomize the whole series. And once you know this, you can see so many parallels to the Christian story in Harry Potter. And I know people get upset about it because of the witchcraft in there. But all these fantasy movies have stuff in it that's basically witchcraft. I mean,
right.
Gandalf is a wizard, as I mentioned. The stuff that's done in the Marvel series is witchcraft to a certain extent. You have characters in there that have certain powers. They can zap people, right? I mean, it's throughout all this. It's supposed to be fantasy. But on the other hand, it also communicates great theological and moral truth.
Do you think Hollywood, so J.K. Rowling, she's given away a bit of the game there, that she is at least aware. Well, I think most people are aware of the Bible, but at least she's not adverse to using, you know, those two great scripture verses to inspire her writing and her movie. That's, you might say that's even brave. Do you think screenwriters or people like would write Batman? Are they using the biblical structure, or are they using just the structure of myth? For instance, I'll tell you this. At Disney, which is now, of course, antithetical to families and hates families and mm-hmm. is trying to defy families, and it's just yep. been consumed by evil. Back in the day at Disney, if you were a script doctor, you know, you were taking incoming scripts, the first thing you did was you did a quick read, and if it fit within the hero's journey and you liked it, it could move forward. If it was not in the hero's journey, it was tossed. They didn't hear right. Stranger from a Strange Land. They didn't hear anything other than, no, we are a hero's journey storytelling company. Do you think, or are you aware of writers who actually use the Holy Bible as inspiration, or are they just using the myth structure that's been inspired by the Bible?
Well, Zack Snyder, who has done some DC movies, particularly, say, Batman versus Superman and the Justice League, mm-hmm. he is the director. He points out that there are scenes in Batman versus Superman. In fact, one scene where Superman actually dies trying to take out a character called Doomsday. And the imagery that he uses there is directly out of the crucifixion scene where Jesus is taken down from the cross in a famous painting. You have Batman handing Superman's dead body down to Wonder Woman, which mirrors, according to Zack Snyder, a famous medieval painting of the crucifixion scene. And if you notice in that movie, there are crosses almost everywhere, particularly in the battle scene. So Zack Snyder is using biblical imagery, certainly art that is describing, or at least for depicting biblical imagery in the very movie that he's directing. So yeah, they do that on occasion. Now, obviously, Tolkien was doing a straight Christian storyline in a parable way. He didn't want it to be so overt. He is one of the writers that is overtly putting forth a Christian message in his movies. The others may not be doing that, but to a certain extent, they can't help themselves because it's just reality. It's reality that we need a hero to come save us. We can't save ourselves.
I'm excited, Frank, because as I peruse the book and I will read it in its entirety and highlight it. In fact, this is something I'm going to give my daughter as she enjoys these movies again, that she can reflect on this. The book isn't just, it's not just about the movies. You're such a successful apologist and you have a series and you're not brave enough to be an atheist. And that's so successful. Crossexamine.org. I love that you, in fact, you witness throughout the book. And this is a teaching kit. And there's a piece of the book that so appeals to me in terms of that teaching. And we can tie this back to some of the movies you talk about in the book. You write that Jesus never allows his good qualities to lead him into sin. And you've made such great references to C.S. Lewis, that one of my very, very favorite Lewis moments is in Screwtape Letters. And mm-hmm. so Wormwood is talking to his charge, and he's working on some Christians and he's trying to turn them, and he's panicked. Oh, he calls them they call people they're trying to corrupt into hell. They call them their patients.
Right.
My patients have started to go to church, and what do I do? And I think I'm losing them. And of course the senior demon Wormwood says, no. What are you talking about? This is great. They should feel very proud of themselves. Mm-hmm. Right? So as they're sitting in church, they should feel very proud of themselves and remind them to look around and say, wow, at least we have more money than those guys. And at least I'm not sick like that person. And man, I'm not a sinner like that guy. That guy's drunk in church. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful moment and a scary moment. So let me just do this quick message. And then I want to have you talk about and explain to my audience how you put this together, that Jesus never used his good qualities to lead him astray, never allowed his good qualities to be used to lead him astray.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, good.
All right. You know, the world being what it is, and corruption being what it is, and big business being what it is, it's exciting to help businesses start from scratch. And we didn't necessarily start Bone Frog Coffee from scratch. I mean, that would be really unfair to say. Tim Cruikshank has done so much work on this. Tim is a friend and a brother in Christ. And Tim is a 25-year Navy veteran. He is a Navy SEAL, all retired. And he's also, by the way, a physician's assistant. He's a crazy smart man. And he started Bone Frog Coffee with the desire to, first of all, create a business to feed families. And his, not just his, proceeds go to families of fallen Navy SEALs at bonefrog.us. That's where you go buy the coffee. He's also obsessed with quality. Imagine that, a Navy SEAL obsessed by quality. How on earth? And the coffee, in fact, this morning, again, I'm having the medium roast, the Bone Frog roast, and I continue to insist it's the smoothest coffee I've had. Just got a phone call from a friend early this morning. He got his first shipment back east to Bone Frog and said, okay, I get it. It's not just the company, it's the coffee. It's available in all the roasts you would expect, all the delivery methods you would expect, including the K-Cup. And then just know this, like you personally, in interacting, you guys who've purchased Bone Frog, you are helping this great, honest company and this great man grow this company. And he is acting in a servant capacity. He is a servant leader. And I love that about him. But it goes down to the quality of the coffee. Here's the ask. It's super simple. Go to bonefrog.us. If you haven't used the code before, use my name, Todd, T-U-D-D. You're going to score 10% off the coffee. Just try a couple of the roasts or all five. And then come back with the ones you love. Sign up for a subscription deal. And help us continue to build honest businesses or promote established businesses that are honest, good, godly businesses. Bonefrog.us is how to get there. Hollywood Heroes, Frank Terek is with us. All right, so Frank, help people understand this. This is an interesting thing you discovered, that Christ never allowed his good qualities to lead him astray.
Yeah, that can happen to any of us. If you think about your weaknesses, they're normally strengths pushed to an extreme. Like, for example, if you're really goal-oriented, that's a good thing. You get a lot done. The problem is it can make you impatient, right? You tend to walk on people because you're so task-oriented, so goal-oriented, which is a good thing, that it can make you insensitive to people and you can bulldoze people. And so these good qualities can actually be strengths that ultimately can be pushed to an extreme. They become a weakness. You don't see that in Jesus, right? You never see Jesus pushing a good trait so far that it becomes a bad trait. You see, for example, in the superhero movies, like Captain America is one of the superheroes we cover in Hollywood Heroes, and he is very righteous, Captain America. He doesn't need any moral development. You never have to worry that he's going to make the wrong decision. He always makes the right decision. But the problem is he's so righteous that it can turn into hair-splitting pride, where he's annoying other people with his pickiness. And that then becomes a weakness. But you don't see that with Jesus. Jesus is full of truth and righteousness, but he's also full of grace. He's full of holiness, but he's also approachable. He's not somebody that's so far above you that you can't approach him. He's holy, but he's also approachable. He's strong, but he's also tender. He's confident, but he's also humble at the same time. He's completely mission-focused, Todd, but he's also loving at the same time. Now, I don't know anybody in my life, maybe you know somebody in your life, I don't know anybody in my life that can hold all of those qualities in perfect tension, right?
Right.
Everybody I know might be great in one of those or two of those things, but not all of them. So Jesus is the ultimate hero. And all the heroes we go through in Hollywood Heroes, they all have good qualities, but they all have weaknesses too. Jesus doesn't have any weaknesses. He's all good. He's all perfect.
Yes. And no, I don't know anyone like that other than Jesus. Who's the ultimate Satan model?
The ultimate Satan model?
Yeah. In film, who's the ultimate Satan stand in film in your mind?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one because there are so many of them. You got Sauron in the Lord of the Rings series. You've got Lex Luthor in Batman versus Superman. He plays Satan really well. You've got, let's see, actually in the Iron Man series, now that you mention it, his business partner, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now, is played by Jeff Bridges, I think. He is sort of a Satan figure in there. You've got, that's a great question, Todd. I'm trying to think of who the Satan figures are in some of the, well, of course you got Darth Vader in the Star Wars series, right? And actually the Emperor is probably more the Satan figure because Darth Vader is ultimately redeemed by, spoiler alert, Todd, his son.
No one knows. No one knows. What? Redeemed? Now I can't watch it anymore.
That's right. So you do have Satan figures throughout. Oh, interestingly enough, you know who the Satan figure is in the Wonder Woman movies?
I've only seen the first one, so I wouldn't know.
It's human nature. That's the Satan figure.
Oh, explain that.
The fact that we want sex, money, and power, and we will sin to get it. In fact, in the second movie, Wonder Woman 1984, they have this character known as Max Lord, which is a great name, right? He's trying to maximize the fact that he's the Lord over everything. And what he do is he gives people their wishes, and then he gets power when he gives them their wish. And then, unfortunately, their wishes drive them into madness and all sorts of negative consequences that they don't foresee. And so the way Wonder Woman overcomes this disaster to the point where there's about to be a nuclear exchange is she actually gets Max Lord to renounce his wishes to get him to realize that the truth of the matter is he's been pursuing all of these things, sex, money, and power, at the expense of his own family. And he finally realizes the big enemy is his own human nature, that he needs to renounce what he's been doing and repent and go back and take care of his son. And so the Satan figure in that film is human nature, which goes completely against our culture today, who says human nature is basically good and you ought to follow your heart, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says don't follow your heart. In fact, the Bible says guard your heart because everything you do flows from it. You have to guard your heart, not follow your heart. This is brought out in the Iron Man series as well. I mean, all these movies have all these lessons in them. We just got to know where to look, Todd.
Well, so that's the reason I bring up Satan is because I think one of the great failings of us Christians in the church age is accepting this growing belief amongst Christians that one need not believe in Satan. Because I think Satan loves that, right? Right. You can go, you speak of movies, The Usual Suspect, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people he doesn't exist.
That's right.
Right. Great line from the twisted mouth of Kevin Spacey. But so that's why I asked that question. When you watch these films with kids, at what age do you start saying, okay, who's the Satan character in your mind? Again, Frank Tarek's mind. Like when do you do that?
Start very young. As soon as it's appropriate enough for them to watch any of these movies, and you know, some of these movies, they don't have any sex or anything that might be objectionable to get an R rating, right? Most of these are PG, PG-13 movies. In fact, I know a lot of Christians, as they say, have boycotted the Harry Potter series, but Harry Potter has virtually no sex in it, has no cursing in it. The violence in it is all good against evil kind of violence, right? And I think from a parent perspective, as long as you point out this is all fantasy, okay? As long as you point all that out, there are great lessons you can draw from those movies.
And I think the lesson on Satan, and let me ask you this, because you go around the country and you speak to young people and speak at college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a desire people have this someone called it universalism, or this desire to believe, yes, there's a God, but no, there's no Satan, because that would be bad. And that would mean bad things for me. Right. Do you think that's the motivation for people to say, oh, I can believe in the, you know, the ATM machine God, where you pray for something and you get it, but I can't possibly believe in Satan. Do you think that's a comfort mechanism? Do you think that's been done on purpose to kids, young people?
Yeah, here's a question I ask kids on college campuses where I go and present from our book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. I always ask them this question if they're not Christians, Todd. I say, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? I've had atheists stand in front of the microphone in front of hundreds of people and say, no. And I say, no. You know, how's that reasonable? How's that rational? It's not, Todd. They're not on a truth quest. They're on a happiness quest. And they're just going to believe whatever they think is going to make them happy. And if God is going to take away their happiness, so much for God. You know, many people are looking for God like a criminal is looking for a cop, right? They're not interested. Yeah. They don't want there to be a God because they want to be God of their own lives. And this is why, in fact, I was just at the University of Utah just a couple of weeks ago when I was out there also at the Boise State, not far from where you are. And I asked a lady that came out of Mormonism, if historic Orthodox Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? She said, no. No, there are things I don't like about Christianity. Oh, okay. It's all preference then, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Marx famously said religion is the opiate of the masses. I think it's exactly the opposite. Atheism is the opiate of the masses. Why? Because if there's no God, you get to do whatever you want without any judgment.
Yes.
Ultimately.
And, right. Well, any judgment until, you know, that part where you are judged. And far be it for me to bring biblical structure to this.
Right.
I'm going to ask you to wrap this up, believe it or not, with an entertainment person, information person, not in your book, but I'd like your help answering this challenge from the great evolved mind of Oprah Winfrey, who, as you know, is a spiritual leader. So we'll do that in a second. I'll ask you this question. I'll just give you guys a quick reminder. May 20th, I'm entering into one of the Babylons, returning to Washington State. It's going to be in Bothell, Washington, May 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And I'm going to talk to Julie. We may need to expand the time on this because I want to spend more time with you than that. Julie, my friend Julie Barrett, is a fantastic speaker. She runs a group called Conservative Ladies of Washington. And she has relatively new to being saved by the Lord. And she will, I think, tell you that story and tell you what it means to her and that she shouldn't be living the life she's living as the activist she is, where she has now representatives calling her. Hey, Julie, I'm working on this. And hey, Julie, can you help us with that? And she shouldn't be doing that. Mathematically speaking, she should be home, you know, on her Obama phone cashing her Biden bucks, but she's not. She'll tell you that story. I think I can't speak for Julie, but the theme of the event is, will God rescue America? And the more you think about this, it might not be as simple answer as you think, because I'm doing my prep work on this and consulting spiritual advisors. In fact, I'll have to pick Frank's brain about this. Will God save America? It is, again, May 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Tickets are $20 while they last. And thank the Lord and thank you guys. It looks like we're on a trajectory to sell this out. There is not going to be a live stream. But there is going to be Bone Frog Coffee there, and there's going to be Alan Soaps there. Zach Abrahams is going to be there. It's going to be a good night. So it's ToddHermanShow.com/events. It's ToddHermanShow.com/events. So, Frank, help me answer this. I have my way of answering it. Yours will be more evolved and better and more mature. Oprah is fond of saying that getting to God is simply like climbing Mount Everest. There's one top, but all sorts of ways to get there. And given your work at crossexamine.org, and I'm not brave enough to be an atheist, you're very well equipped to handle this. And it also bridges over into entertainment and film because she's also an actress. So how do you answer that great evolved thought of Oprah Winfrey that God is Mount Everest? So just pick a trail.
Well, I would ask her a couple of questions. What do you mean by that? And how'd you come to that conclusion? Why do you think that's true? Okay.
Yeah.
Because look, Led Zeppelin had it wrong, Todd. There's not a stairway to heaven. There's a stairway from heaven, and Jesus has already taken it. The reason Jesus is the only way to salvation, it's not an arbitrary claim. It's because there's no other way an infinitely just God can allow creatures who are not just to go unpunished. So what does he do? He finds an innocent substitute who volunteers to take their punishment on himself. Who's that? It's only himself, Jesus. Jesus volunteers to add humanity to his deity, come to earth, take the punishment of the creatures he created who rebelled against him. He allows them to torture and kill him so he could then remain just and also then justify the rest of us, the sinners who have rebelled against him. So it's not an arbitrary claim. It's because infinite justice and infinite love exists. And what God does is he pours his justice out on Jesus instead of us. That's why Jesus is the only way. It's not arbitrary. It's just the nature of reality.
Yeah. No, that's so solid. I'm so glad I asked you that. Hold on. I'm writing that down. And then later I'll say, but no, I'm just using Frank's words. I've got it recorded. No, I'll just play it for people. I would say
another thing to him though, Todd, just to point this out, that if you don't want to accept that gift, you don't have to. But God is not going to force you into heaven against your will. If you don't want Jesus now, you're not going to want him in eternity. Jesus is ultimately who we're going to be with in eternity. And if you're rejecting him now, God is not going to force you into his presence. He allows your free choice to decide where you're going to spend eternity. If God exists, and he does, and if there is an afterlife, and there is, there's only two possibilities. You're either going to be with God in the afterlife, or you're going to be separated from him. If you're with him, you've accepted the free gift of salvation, of forgiveness. Not only are you given forgiveness, you're given his righteousness. If you haven't accepted that, if you want to do your own thing, you're going to be separated from him. That's your choice.
And so when you say it that way, this is the part that I know bothers some people to the core. And you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. But people have a tendency to want to find their way out of things. We are a species of loopholes. Yeah, but. And I say it this way to people that because our show puts God at the center, but we're a political show. So God at the center, politics at the edge. This is the way I describe it, Frank, since we've gone to the podcast format. Is I look at the political environment. And I will say, let's look at this. If you're on a side, and it's not just a Republican Democrat thing, that day is past. There's a lot of Republicans who've walked the wrong path. I refer to them as the party. And, I have a structure for that. But you look at, if you're on the side that is refusing to hear speech, that you want speech shut down, if you're on the side that wants to force medical procedures upon people that are in fact experimental, if you're on the side that says this group gets to burn cities to the ground, this group does not. If you're on the side of that measure of force and you can't say that, oh, and by the way, you have to say this. You know, we spoke of J.K. Rowling. Well, they've tried to cancel her, but she's too financially successful. They can't. So instead, these actors and actresses whose careers she made turn on her because she recognizes biological truth. We're being told in the workplace, no, you must pretend that man is a woman. We have swimmers being told, no, you must pretend that male swimmer is a woman. The AP, and I'm talking to a writer about this coming up this week, she got a piece spiked because she refused to remove from her piece on that swimmer that he is a male. That you cannot mention it. You cannot mention he was ever anything other than Leah. If you're on that side of the political spectrum, oh, and by the way, adding to that, the force of you know, taking unborn life, or now in Maryland, 28-year-old or 28-day-old life, if that thing becomes law, that monstrosity, guess what? Regard that. That's force. That is all of its force. And I say that God is ultimately pro-choice, but he's also pro-responsibility. And any other side of this is evil. And I wrap it up this way to people in this era of debates about free speech. Christ Jesus, and I love this about him, as he's debating the Pharisees, right? And the Pharisees are saying, wait a minute, you're healing a guy on the Sabbath? You can't do that. What are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. What's so amazing about our Lord Jesus is, you know, he could have looked at that Pharisee and said, you know what? Let me just show you something. I'm going to turn you into a doorknob for about a minute. And, oh, hey, look, he's a doorknob. Now watch. Boom. Hey, look, now he's a Pharisee again. You hear me? How do I have this authority? Because I made you, right? I created you. So shut up. Never question me. Don't question me. I'm God Almighty. Jesus Christ himself didn't do that. We hear from the Apostle Paul, come, let us reason together. Jesus entertained these debates. And obviously, he was doing this for the benefit of everyone else, not the Pharisee. But that's what I see in this political environment. That's why I opened the show, Frank, by saying this is the day the Lord has made. And these are the times through which we live. So is that an overwrought example on my behalf?
No. And in fact, in the political world, Todd, as you well know, if God doesn't exist, then nobody has any rights. Right?
Well, yeah.
Everything's just opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ask our Supreme Court justice to be, who says she has no opinion on natural rights.
Well, if she has no opinion on natural rights, then how does she be a Supreme Court justice? Right. I mean, Todd, how did we go in the Kavanaugh hearings from believe every woman to in this hearing with Jackson? What's a woman?
It's a good thing I'm not a senator, because I would have said, I guarantee my follow up would have been, is, are you a woman?
Yeah. I know.
Well, and then, by the way, are you black? Because that's a spectrum, right? So, God, I have a problem with respect for authority, and I work on that. I'm prayerful for that. And I think the devil just continues to work with me on that. So the book is Hollywood Heroes, and there's a link directly to Frank's website where you can go and get the benefit he spoke about. Do that early. The book is coming out for you in about a month. I have a copy, though, because I'm an influential member of the media, to quote our good, dear, departed friend, Rush Limbaugh. Any closing thoughts to this podcast audience, Frank?
Yeah, I want to say that, again, the website, HollywoodHeroesBook.com, if they go there and pre-order the book before May 3rd, we are going to send them the audio version for free. And the instructions on how to do that are at HollywoodHeroesBook.com. Again, this is a great book for young people especially, or anybody interested in movies, because you can. It's a fun way to get people interested in Christianity, in God, in biblical life lessons, in actually evidence for the faith. There's a lot of it in the book. So check it all out, HollywoodHeroesBook.com.
Well, I couldn't be more thankful that you've given us the gift of your time. I admire the work of Janet Parshall, Christian radio host. Great. I think the best interviewer in radio, who often reminds her audience that people like Frank give us a gift that we can't ever return, which is almost an hour or more of Frank's time. So appreciate you coming on. This is the Todd Herman Show, and I always ask you to please be well, be strong, be kind, and yes, with the help of great tools like this, let's be right with God, but let's also give our kids the tools to be right with God.